is the answer. But then in the next frame is the caption, yes, yes, but what's the question? Have you ever felt that way? It reminds me of a book. It was written by one of my favorite Christian authors. He was walking across a college campus, and an excited college student came up to him and got right in front of him and said, are you saved? And he said the first thing that came to his mind, saved from what? What does Christianity have to do with life today? Is there more to life than this? As I was growing up and well into my college years, I was not the least bit interested in becoming a Christian. And then when I became a Christian, the last thing I expected was to be a minister and a missionary. But that is what I am, that is what I do, and I absolutely love what I do. Nancy and I raised our family in Africa. Our son, who now lives with his wife in Hong Kong, was just a few months old when we moved. And our daughter was born in Africa. So I have a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, African-American daughter. I think that's pretty cool. But growing up, I had some objections to the Christian faith. First, I thought it was boring. Christianity, boring. When I was high school, there was a classmate who was known to be a Christian. A boring guy, in boring clothes, with a boring life, kind of a Christian nerd. And then several years later, my older brother and I took a trip around the United States, and we stayed at a friend of a friend's of a friend's house. He was a lawyer who had an apartment building on Manhattan, and he really enjoyed looking at the other neighbors across the street through his binoculars. It was kind of a weird thing, yeah. Well, we were there on a Sunday morning, so he said, let's go to church. Church? Isn't there other things you can do on a Sunday morning besides church? Well, we went. He said he took us to the church because he just felt that it was such a peaceful place. I thought it was boring. He said that maybe he had chosen the wrong profession. Rather than being a lawyer, he should have become a minister because it would give him more time for contemplation. Contemplation? That's boring. I'm reminded of a journal entry that Robert Louis Stevenson, that he's the author of Treasure Island and Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He wrote in his journal one day, I've been to church and I'm not depressed, as if he were surprised. That's how I view church. Boring, depressing. Besides being boring, to me, Christianity also seemed untrue. You see, I had intellectual objections. I felt that I was just too smart to be locked into such a narrow view of life, a life that people no longer lived. Even if the Bible had been true way back then, didn't we now have new and better truth? Hadn't modern philosophy, modern science, and modern thought replaced the old truth with newer truth, with truer truth? Aren't we better and smarter today? You see, in college, I was a biology and a chemistry major. Well, really, I was a swimming and a scuba diving major. Being raised in California, I'd love to put an air tank on my back and just jump into the ocean. And I squeezed my 4 years of college into 7 because if a class interfered with my diving schedule, I just wouldn't take the class till the next time it was offered. In fact, I did so much scuba diving that it was a wear and the tear of the wetsuit that took my hair out. Yeah. Looks like we might have a few other scuba divers out there. I taught swimming during the summers. And one of the people I worked with was a girl named Cheryl. Cheryl was a Christian, but not the type of Christian that I had met before. Not like the high school chemistry nerd. and not like some of my friends who said they were Christian, who might even go to church, but their life and my life were exactly the same in terms of what we pursued. But Cheryl was different. Cheryl was different. Her fiance was there, so that's okay. She was a former high school cheerleader, really pretty girl, but what was attractive to me about Cheryl was not her outward beauty, but the inner beauty that she had. I liked her openness, her freshness, her realness. I was a science major, and so I thought that I had some tough but reasonable questions, and Cheryl let me ask my questions. She listened to what I had to say, and she didn't judge me for my thoughts. And nevertheless, I thought that Christianity was boring. I thought that it was untrue. And thirdly, I thought that Christianity was irrelevant, that it really had no meaning today. I mean, how could something that happened thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away, have any meaning to my life today, here and now? How in the world could God expect me to live like the Bible people in this day and age? I mean, they didn't even have bicycles, let alone computers. Bill Gates, who knows a few things about computers, has said, I don't attend church because I have too many things I need to accomplish, and the church has no meaning in my everyday life. Well, that seemed very reasonable to me at the time. And then if I were to open the Bible and read something like, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are the persecuted. That doesn't sound like blessing to me. That sounds like misery. So to me, the Christian faith was boring. It was untrue. It was irrelevant. Now, looking back, I realize that it was partly my fault. I never really listened, and I was quite uninformed in terms of what Christianity was all about. I saw Christians either as the wild and furious televangelists who were really kind of entertaining, but not the type of people that I'd want to hang around with, or the cold, dry, rule-keeping killjoys with absolutely no life, attending the kind of church that even if God left, no one would even notice. But only when I took the time and was allowed to ask my questions, my heart questions, my hard questions to Cheryl, the fellow swimming instructor, who listened in an honest, non-judgmental way and who talked with me and didn't talk at me, did my thoughts begin to change. And I was surprised. I was really surprised by what I found. I found that Christianity is far from boring. That Christianity is the truth, and that it does indeed have meaning today. You see, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if he is right, and I believe he is, there can be nothing more important than our response to him. I've changed. I now believe that Jesus brings direction to a lost world. People were created to live in relationship with God. And without that relationship, there will always be a hunger, an emptiness, a feeling that something is missing. Many people try to fill it with many different ways. Some try to fill it with money. Others try drugs or alcohol or sex. Others try hard, working and striving hard for success. But it never really seems to fill the emptiness in life. Will Smith, the Hollywood actor, has said, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. How true that is. Another actor and comedian, Jim Carrey, has said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. Jesus says, I am the bread, the food of life. No one who comes to me will ever hunger again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. I am the way. I am the direction for a lost world. In Africa, Nancy and I first lived in Liberia. It's a West African country. Liberians love rice. It's their main food. The average Liberian family would eat between 100 and 200 pounds of rice a month. If a Liberian person had not eaten rice during the day, then they really didn't feel as if they had eaten. Something was missing. So I remember one American Thanksgiving, we had a friend over. His name was Sulia, and Nancy went all out. She made a great Thanksgiving meal with turkey and stuffing and potatoes and rolls and carrots and salad. So many great things. It was a great meal. We ate. We were all stuffed. And yet, as Sulia and I were walking down the street later that day, someone said, hey, have you guys eaten today? And Sulia said, no, I haven't. I haven't had rice. Sulia's hunger would never really be satisfied until he would have his rice. So maybe to Sulia, Jesus would say, Sulia, I am the rice of life. I'm the missing part. We may be feasting on all the things that life here in the Triangle has to offer, education and housing and sports and cars and March Madness and friends and good jobs. But without a relationship with God, there's often a hunger, an emptiness, a feeling that something is missing. As Sulia said, even though he was stuffed with turkey, something's missing. I haven't had my rice. The journalist and author Bernard Levin, not a Christian, once wrote an article, Life's Great Riddle and No Time to Find Its Meaning. He says, and he's wondering that and fearing that perhaps, as he says, I have wasted reality in the chase of a dream. This is what he says. To put it bluntly, have I time to discover why I was born before I die? I have not managed to answer those questions yet. And however many years I have before me, they are certainly not as many as there are behind. There's an obvious danger in leaving it to too late. Why do I have to know why I was born? Because I'm unable to believe that it was an accident. And if it wasn't an accident, then it must have meaning. He goes on to say, countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet lead lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there's a hole inside of them. And however much food and drink they pour into it, however many cars and televisions they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it still aches. You know, one of the epic songs of all time, it's right up there with Happy Birthday to You. Everyone knows that one. And another one, A, B, C, D, E, everyone knows that. Here's another epic song, and you know it. Sing it with me. We will rock you. If you've ever been to a sporting event, you've sung that song. The song was written by a man named Freddie Mercury, who was the lead singer of a rock group, Queen. Before his death to AIDS, he asks the question, does anyone know what we're living for? He said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of dollars, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. You see, friends, we were created to live in relationship with God. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what difference does it make to have this kind of relationship? Nancy and I have a good friend. Her name is Teresa. And for years, Teresa had a problem that she didn't even know about. She grew up. She graduated from school, went to college, had a good job, got married, had two kids. She had a good life. And when her son Nathan began having reading problems, she took him to the doctor, but she decided that she too would have her eyes checked. And she found out that her eyes did not focus together properly. She never saw things in three dimensions. She only saw the world in two dimensions. She had wondered why so many people enjoy hiking or walking through the woods, because to her, the ground was always a little bit unstable, and the trees often were more just like blotches of green. Teresa had a good life, a nice home, a great husband, two good kids. She just saw the world in two dimensions. But when she got her eyes to work together, the world became a totally different place for her. As Teresa now says, 3D is really, really cool. Teresa had been quite happy. She just didn't realize that there was something oh so much better. You see, life without a relationship with God is like seeing the world in two dimensions. Some people seem quite happy. They just don't realize that there is something so much better. But once we've experienced a relationship with God, the purpose and meaning of life becomes so much clearer. We see things we have never seen. We understand why we were made. Jesus fulfills the missing part. Jesus is the way. So I believe that Jesus brings direction to a lost world. I also believe that Jesus brings reality in a confused world. Sometimes people say, it doesn't really matter what you believe, so long as you're sincere. Maybe you've heard people say that. Maybe you've even said it on an occasion. Who of us will ever forget September 11th, 9/11, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, and now ISIS? In all the things that Osama bin Laden did, one thing he was sincere. Think about it. This man, for the sake of his religion, gave up an affluent lifestyle, a life of ease and comfort. This man, for the sake of his beliefs, was willing to go into hiding and to live in a cave and away from the public. This man, for the sake of his conviction, stood against the evils that he perceived in the West and also in much of Islam. Osama bin Laden was committed to act in line with his sincere beliefs. And yet I think we would all agree that he was sincerely wrong. It does matter what we believe. Other people's response to Christianity is, it may be great for you, but it's not for me. But if you think about it, it's sort of like saying, the law of gravity may be good for you, but, you know, it's not for me. I'll catch you later. I'm going to be floating off now. No, there are absolutes. Jesus not only says, I am the way, he also says, I am the truth. The comment, Christianity may be great for you, but it's not for me, is not a very good statement. You see, because if Christianity is true, it is of vital importance to every one of us. If it is not true, Christians are deceived, and it's not great for us. It's very, very sad, and the sooner we get over it, the better. C.S. Lewis, the man who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the films, he puts it this way, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. No more an option than saying, I don't believe in gravity. The question is, though, Is it true? Jesus said, I am the truth. Is there evidence to support his claim? Oh my goodness, there sure is. Even in a world of confusion that doubts it, one scholar has noted that there is more proof for the life of Jesus and the Bible than for any other piece of literature, including the plays of William Shakespeare, To Be or Not to Be. Another scholar, the chair of modern history at Oxford University, stated, I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and more fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquiry than Christ died and rose from the dead. Now, some still deny it, just as some still insist that Elvis is alive, or members of the still active, Flat Earth Society, who insist that the world is flat. This is what's on, you can Google it, Google knows everything. The Flat Earth Society, this is on their website. The Flat Earth Society is a nonpartisan, nonprofit, and non-denominational membership organization dedicated to improving the understanding of the nature of reality through pataphysical inquiry, empirical investigation, and the exchange of ideas. Whatever. Jesus says, I am the truth. And he meant intellectual truth, but he meant more than just intellectual truth. He meant both intellectual factual truth and experiential personal truth as well. The truth of Jesus Christ is not just head knowledge, but also can be a heart experience. Before Nancy and I moved with our family to Ethiopia in East Africa, I thought I knew what Ethiopia was all about. I'd seen the news, hot, dry, parched deserts, skeletons eating bowls of mush. I'd seen the World Vision and the Compassion International ads, buy a kid for $29.95 a month. I knew what Ethiopia was like. I had that information. And then we moved there. Yes, Ethiopia does have some drought-stricken areas. And yes, Ethiopia has many children who are in need. But Ethiopia is also one of the most mountainous countries in all of Africa, with beautiful lakes and rivers and waterfalls, animals, monkeys and zebras, and some of the most gorgeous birds that you could ever imagine. Where we lived, the temperature was always between 65 and 85 degrees. We'd wear a sweater maybe once or twice a year. You'd have to work to go hungry where we lived. In our yard grew bananas and pineapples and guava and passion fruit. Avocados grew wild. We would get upwards of 100 bananas a week, upwards to 100 avocados a day. Starbucks coffee grew in our backyard. The very coffee from Ethiopia that you can buy from $14 to $16 a pound, we would buy for 50 cents if we didn't want to pick it ourselves. Did I know what Ethiopia was like? I had the head knowledge. Well, yes, I had some. But I know so much more now that I've lived there and experienced it. So when I say in relation to my faith, I know Jesus is the truth, I mean not only do I know it intellectually, but I have experienced Jesus as the truth as well. So as we come into relationship with God who is truth, our perceptions change. We begin to understand the world around us. It's as if our two-dimensional world becomes three-dimensional. And who would ever want to go back? And yet some of us do. And we start pursuing other things. I believe Jesus brings direction to a lost world. I believe that Jesus brings reality in a confused world. And thirdly, I believe Jesus brings life in a dark world. Jesus says, I am the life. In Jesus, we find where life has previously had guilt and addiction and fear and the prospects of death, a whole different scenario. The Bible tells us that we are all created in the image of God, and there is therefore something noble about all human beings. We are made with dignity. However, the Bible also tells us that we're also fallen, and we're born with a tendency to do evil. In every human being, the image of God has been, to a greater or lesser extent, tarnished, and in some cases, almost destroyed by sin. But we still have worth. We still have dignity. Good and bad, strength and weakness coexist in all of us. One famous Russian writer has said, "The line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between political parties, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." I used to think that I was a pretty good person because I didn't do anything really, really bad. But when I began to see my life alongside of the life of Jesus Christ, I realized who I was and how needful I was. Many have had the same experience. C.S. Lewis writes it this way: "For the first time, I examined myself with purpose, and there I found what appalled me: a zoo of lusts, a bedlam of ambitions, a nursery of fears, a harem of fondled hatreds." Maybe you can identify with some of those statements. Maybe at times all of us have felt overwhelmed by a zoo of lusts, or a bedlam of ambitions, or a nursery of fears, or hated desires. Maybe you simply feel that there's no one to forgive you for those things that have brought hurt and harm to yourself and others. That's why Jesus came, to give light and life in a dark world. He says, "I am the life." Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You have worth. God says, "You have worth." And we might paint ourselves up and put on nice clothes to make ourselves feel better, but underneath, sometimes we are feeling worthless. I happen to have a $20 bill here. It's a relatively new $20 bill. Who of us would like a $20 bill? Good. Now you know what someone told me between the services? They said, "We knew you weren't going to give it to us because we've never met a Baptist preacher who would ever give away $20. So it's nice, and of course, most of us would like it. But what if I crumpled it up? Who wants it now? Oh, yeah, cool, cool, yeah. But if I were to put it on the ground and... certainly no one wants it now, right? Well, of course we do. And why? Because it's been beaten and battered, but it has worth. And some of us have been beaten and battered a lot. And some of us are bruised and battered and scarred. But God says, "You have worth." You may have been chewed up and spitten out, but you have worth. When Jesus was crucified, he paid the penalty for all the things that we have done wrong, all the ways that we have been hurt, all the ways that we have hurt others. And he can remove our guilt and set us free from addiction and fear and death because he died instead of us. Yet Jesus not only died for us, he rose again for us. Jesus came to bring life. Eternal life. Eternal life is a quality of life that comes in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus never promised anyone an easy life, but he promises that each of us can have life to the full. This new quality of life starts now, and it can go into eternity and will go into eternity. Through Jesus, who said, "I am the life," we can not only enjoy fullness of life here and now, but we can have the assurance that will never, ever end. You know, some of us want to live to be really old, and I appreciate that. I had a great aunt who lived to be 100 years old. 100 years old. She said once, "When I was younger, I always wanted to be 100. And now that I am, I only hope my enemies live to be 100. Eternity is a lot longer than 100 years. I mean, just add zeros and more zeros and more zeros and more zeros. And no matter how many zeros you add, you're only just beginning. What are we seeking after? Those 100 years on earth, or that eternity in the presence of God forever? It's a choice that we make virtually each and every day. As a young man, I had three objections to the Christian life. I thought it was boring. I thought it was untrue. I thought it was irrelevant. My goodness, I've changed my mind. Christianity is not boring. It is exciting. Every day is exciting. It doesn't mean that every day with Jesus is better than the day before. It means it's exciting as I walk through life and as I experience both the joys and sometimes the testing that he brings my way to allow me to draw closer to him. Christianity is so very exciting. It's not untrue. It is the truth. In a world of so many different voices, it's so good that we can anchor our lives on the truth of who God is and what he has done. And Christianity is not irrelevant. It transforms life. It brings meaning and fullness to life. And it gives us a reason to live. For there truly is more to life than just what we see around us. Well, over a few weeks in May, I'm going to have the opportunity to be and to talk with you. And I'm really looking forward to that. And we're going to look at a couple of amazing topics associated with living in relationship with God. And I trust it'll give us an opportunity to talk through questions that perhaps we've pondered about throughout our life before and maybe even after becoming a Christian. So I look forward to being with you on a couple more occasions this month. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are truly an awesome and a wonderful God. And what a privilege we have as your sons and daughters, because of the work of Jesus Christ, to come into your presence and to seek not just your hand in what you give to us, but to seek your face for the tremendous God that you are. I pray that this day and day by day we might walk in the knowledge of the truth of your word, and that it would permeate our lives in our thoughts, in our actions, and in our conversations with other people, that we might live our life to bring honor and glory to your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. This is our time to respond. Maybe you've never had that relationship with Jesus and you'd love to talk to someone. There's folks up here who'd love to chat with you. And maybe you have walked with Jesus for many years, but yet your heart has grown cold. Maybe it's been months and years since you even shared your faith. Whatever way God is working, may he have his way among us. Let's sing and consider the hope of the gospel that brings hope to whatever our heart looks like today. that Jesus is in the business of changing.